Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
You know, it never ceases to amaze me when people say, oh, the younger generation, they're lazy, they don't do anything. And then you get to meet young men like we have in the studio this afternoon who reinvigorate your faith in the younger generation. Antonio Lopez and Gabe Decker join us in studio, and Dana had a chance to meet with them and have breakfast with them yesterday.
I did. It's the 7 days week for a reminder. It's been 10 years. It seems hard to believe it's been 10 years, but it has been 10 years since we lost three of our beloved community members to hate and violence. And in that last 10 years, my friend Mindy Corporan turned all of that horror and tragedy upon the loss of her father and son, and also Terry Lamano at Village Shalom, after the tragedy at the Jewish Community Center, turned it into action and started trying to open up dialogue and spread kindness and understanding between people, between races, certainly between religions. And she has done so in such an impactful way because she has brought young people into the fold. And I want to read this from her. She posted this a few days ago. She said, "Kindness is a learned behavior. And I'm proud to be part of an organization that promotes kindness influencers, because the little ones, Scott, learn the importance young of love, discover others, you, go, and onward." And those are the 7 days of the 7 days foundation. And that's what the young people are all about. They give scholarships out, Scott. They do all kinds of things to put kindness ambassadors in, I think, 22 different high schools, and they're looking for more high schools. And certainly they want to reach out to high school students who have really made an impact by trying to spread love and kindness in our very community.
Joining us in studio is Antonio Lopez. He is from Liberty High School, and Gabe Decker, who is from Blue Valley North High School. Both seniors, I believe. Is that correct?
Yes, yes, that is correct.
Well, guys, welcome. It's an honor to have you in the studio.
It was so humbling and lovely and inspiring to see all of the high school kids that were recognized during the kindness breakfast this week at Church of the Resurrection. Gabe, we'll start with you. You're a senior at Blue Valley North. You have launched something called Music for All. You are a bass player and you play drums. Mm-hmm. Music for All. And what are you doing to help kids in our community?
So I'm raising donated musical instruments. These are mostly from like families whose kids have stopped playing music, or just who don't have a use for their instruments anymore. So I'm gathering those, doing some work to repair them, and then donating them out to a few organizations in the community that work with kids in foster care or kids who wouldn't have access to these instruments.
And what gave you this idea, and what has music given to you that you want to then pass that on to other people your age?
I think, well, there's a few things that gave me this idea. One is that I'd been talking with Justice Standridge, the Supreme Court, Kansas Supreme Court Justice. She goes to my synagogue, and I, for a trip we did as a synagogue, we went to the Capitol. So I had heard a little bit about that, and also just about her experience with it. That had got me thinking about music and foster care. And that had started also got me looking towards how to help that system and how to get instruments into that system.
Sure. And how music helps those kids.
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
How did you get involved with 7 days?
I think actually, so I had talked with a reporter, from the, I believe it's Johnson County Post now. I believe they just changed it.
Yeah.
And she had contacted, a 7 days, person.
Good. Said Gabe has this idea.
And,
it's a great idea.
Said that I should check it out. And yeah, that's how I first heard about it.
And Antonio, welcome. You have a a project called the Dakota Project. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. So first, I'll tell you about who Dakota Rogers is. So approximately 2 years ago, Park Hill High School student was shot and killed due to senseless gun violence in a drive-by shooting. And from that, our president, Tracy Spisak, created the idea to build a park and a memorial for him. So from this, it didn't just start out as a small little neighborhood park. No, go big or go home.
So, I love it. I love it.
We were like, what can we do? So we're looking for a space whose 3 to 5 acres currently. And we're wanting to do is build this huge inclusivity park for everyone to come to. We're wanting a safe space. Our focus is mental wellness. And a huge part of this is to bring the community together. That's what we want. And right now, we're just trying to build as much right now and looking for a place. But yeah.
Did you know Dakota?
I did not personally know Dakota, but I know family that knows Dakota. And I know he was a great guy. And everyone in that school, if you're like, hey, who's this? They'd be like, oh, I know that guy. Oh, I'm friends with this guy. He was just a great guy to be friends
and
with.
And he loved animals.
And he this loved was animals.
A drive-by at a red light. At a red light, and two brothers are charged in that case. And so he loved animals. This would also be a place where you could take your pets. And I'm going to read here a little bit from your application, because both of you won scholarships for your ideas along with a handful of other kiddos. It says, you urge people to turn negative experiences into positive actions, and you are inviting participation to improve the world through this, quote, more than a dog park space in memory of Dakota Rogers. And one of the things I want to ask both of you, because you're seniors, you are getting ready to age out of the high school system and go on and do greater things. Mindy always talks about passing the torch to the younger generation. And we've seen what hate can do. We've seen what hate can do in this very community, even 10 years ago this weekend, and how you think young people can step up the way you have done and make an impact so that people choose kindness and choose love, or just stop and think that maybe somebody's different than me or worships a different God than me, but we can all still hang out and be friends. Like, how do you see that?
So a lot of kids our age, what are they doing? They're sitting on a couch watching TV, playing video games. I do like that, not gonna lie. I do like that, but I wanted to make a change, and I want to continue making changes. So as soon as I saw this, once it came up through Northland CAPS, which is a Center for Advanced Professional Studies,
yeah,
it's an off-campus program that helps students further excel in their line of work that they believe they want to work in. So that's how I got brought up into it. It was a project. And I was like, man, that sounds really familiar. And I was like, oh my gosh, my family knows him. And then the whole story came back to me, and I was like, yeah, oh, I'm doing this. Like, this is going to be huge. And it's not just something that will help a few people. No, hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds.
Gabe?
I think that especially when you're like in high school, there's so many opportunities for things like that. Like you were just talking about one. And I think that I know so many kids that are out there doing stuff similar to this, and a lot of that just comes from finding those opportunities and taking them and trying to make an impact in your community, because that's what really makes someone important, sure, in their community later in life, is once you've established that,
yeah,
as a habit in high school of being involved in
so
your community.
I have to ask, you guys would have been around 8 years old when the shootings happened, and I assume you were both living here?
Yes.
And then what is that like, knowing now that you are 18, and obviously you are Jewish, you're now 18, it's been 10 full years, and it could have been anyone. And that day it was Reet, and it was Dr. Corcoran, and it was Terry Lamano. They all happened to be Christian. This hateful human being was there to murder Jews. And that's, we lost three community members who just were going about their day. And so how do you view that now as young men and young adults, when you were just 8 when this happened and now you're involved in this organization?
So the project is to create a safe place.
Yeah.
This happens all the time. We're wanting to make a statement about it. Because Tracy, whenever it happened, she was just like, I just can't go on another day just oh, this happened. Get over it. Get on with life. She's like, no, I'm going to make some. I'm going to make a statement. We need to rise together against this. This is terrible. We can't just have shootings all the time and just be like, oh, another day. Just keep on moving on. Like, we have to do something about this.
Good.
I went to HBHA, which is housed within JCC. I was on spring break when the shooting happened. I was talking about my parents with this about this last night because they heard about the shooting and didn't tell me and my brother for a day or two just because they were worried that it would be a little bit too much of a shock. But I had friends that were in the JCC then. It was definitely something that the entire community kind of was shocked by, and I'm really glad that we've been able to see this come out of it, and I hope that even though it's absolutely devastating what happened, that we can continue using that to that impact and that shock to make this positive change.
It almost sounds like the projects you guys are working on are almost like Eagle Scout projects.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Yes, I would say that's fair.
Mindy always says, "Make a ripple, change the world."
Yeah,
and you talk about the ripple, and it starts with our kids as young as elementary school and middle school, and now you guys in high school, and then that ripple expands because other kids are listening to you right now, and maybe they think I can do something to make a difference too. So we're so proud of you guys.
Thank you.
And you're going to Georgia Tech, Gabe?
Potentially, I haven't decided where I'm going yet.
Antonio, where are you headed?
I'm going to go to Metropolitan Community
Good
College.
Good for you.
All right, well, will you keep us posted on your projects? Because I can't wait to see your safe space and your dog park in memory of Dakota. And I want to hear much more about your instruments. We're going to put it on our social media channels.
Perfect.
Because I know you guys are looking for donations and you're looking for instruments.
Yes.
And I swear to you, I have a clarinet in my cabinet at home that has been sitting there for 12 years because Beatrice swore she wanted to play the clarinet.
Right.
We went out and bought the very best because she was going to Juilliard.
And where's the clarinet now?
Still sitting in the cabinet.
Exactly.
It's all yours, my friend.
Thank you, Gabe.
Antonio Lopez and Gabe Decker, you guys are inspirational, and it's an honor and a privilege to have you in studio today.
It's an honor
thank
to be
so
here.
Much.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. More of Dana and Parks in just a moment here on KMBZ. Nice pick, Sam.
Oh, they're so lovely. We got all of their information. But let me tell you first, if you go to 7days.org, all spelled out, that's like the hub for all of this stuff that we're talking about.
Is seven spelled out or is it the number seven?
Seven is all spelled out, S-E-V-E-N, days.org. And you will see all about the stuff that we've been talking about. There were several scholarship winners from high schools all over.
Good for them.
That were acknowledged at the Kindness Breakfast.
Very inspirational.
A couple of days ago. So yeah, and we'll put their information on social. If you want to donate instruments and stuff, we'll get to it.
We have an update on the fire situation in north of the Kansas City up near Weston.
Yeah, if you live up there or if you have line of sight safely, obviously, for what's going on near the Buchanan-Platte County line, we'd love to hear from you. The Kansas City Star just posted numerous homes threatened by an uncontrolled wildfire. This is right along Missouri 45 Highway near the Buchanan-Platte County line. Numerous homes have been evacuated, according to the sheriff's office. They're calling this a very large wildfire that has spread from the southern border of Buchanan into Platte.
And it's windy today.
Right along the highway, prompting a large-scale fire and law enforcement response in that area. A section of the highway was closed. I do not know if it remains closed. The fire is apparently spreading south toward Bean Lake, which, as we mentioned earlier, is a short distance from
the Iatan power plant.
But we had listeners saying that it was a safe distance away from that. And we'd like to get a better, if they're evacuating homes over there, we'd like to get a little bit better of an idea of what you're seeing and where this is going.
So Bean Lake, if it's near Bean Lake, that would be about, and I'm just using some rough math here, about 6 or 7 miles from the Iatan power plant. It's an Evergy power plant.
Ernie that we spoke to earlier, or tried to speak to earlier, who dropped off due to signal complications, said that he could barely see smoke, and he was driving down the Iatan power plant road to the plant.
The main highway there would be, Dana, you mentioned 45 Highway. It's also known as 273
yep.
Highway as well. It's just to the east of the Missouri River, between Kansas and Missouri, northwest of Weston.
Okay.
Is where Iatan is. Iatan is a very, very small town, but you'll know Iatan because it's where the Snow Creek ski area is.
Yep. Yep.
That's where Snow Creek is. It's in Iatan. And the power plant is just to the immediate south of Snow Creek. Just to give you a little bit more geographical idea of where what we're talking about here, this is north of Fort Leavenworth, about 15 miles. But just on the Missouri side of the state line, okay. Or the river, Missouri side of the river. Just to the northwest of Weston, north of Fort Leavenworth, and just south of Snow Creek.
If you are in the area and you are in a safe place to call, 913-586-7798, or you can text us at that number, please do, so that we can get more information to our listeners, and we will update you as we can.
Yeah, of course. Don't forget to check out the Dana and Parks podcast. It is available anytime you want, anywhere you go. Just go to kmbz.com. Dana is celebrating 50 years on this planet this weekend. And somebody said, welcome, Dana. You're a WOF woman over 50.
Wolf?
You're a wolf.
Wolf?
Wolf. And they said, welcome to the club. Telephone number here is 913-586-7798. 913-586-7798. 9-8, Sam Stevie III, Dana Wright. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Hey, thanks to our listeners who are texting and calling in on this. And maybe things have died down since Channel 9 posted this. The Buchanan County Sheriff says wind is significantly pushing this fire. It has jumped the road in multiple locations and is spreading south into Platte County. Mm. One firefighter being treated for smoke inhalation.
That post was about an hour ago.
Do we think it's out, though?
I'm not sure. Let's go to Jacob.
What's up, Jacob?
Hi, Jacob.
Hi, Jacob. Hey, Scott. Happy birthday, Dana.
Thank you.
So I actually used to live up there, and I'm very familiar with the area. I talked with a couple people I know up there. But look on Facebook, look up Weston One News, and there's pictures and stuff on there.
Oh, cool.
And what is actually burning is Bean Lake.
What do you mean Lake is burning?
Yeah, so Bean Lake at one point had water in it, and it no longer does. And from the pictures I've seen, it's the actual lake bed, the grass and brush, that's burning right now. And there are homes on the shores of what used to be Bean Lake. And I'm guessing those are all the homes that are being threatened.
I'll be darned. Okay. Jacob, thank you for the information, my friend.
There it is, Weston One News.
By the way, Bean Lake on the map still shows that it has water, but apparently, according to Jacob, it doesn't anymore.
According to all of the pictures, that lake bed is completely dry.
Really dry.
Smoking.
Weston One News Weather is reporting the grass fire is visible from space. And this was a while ago that you've got to avoid Missouri Route 45 near Sugar Lake. But again, we don't...
This picture 11 minutes ago from someone named Jen on Facebook, and there are fire trucks still out there, but there's very minimal flames.
Okay,
just a little bit of smoke.
9 hours ago, Western One News posted this. Breaking, the city of St. Joe has canceled open burning for Thursday, April 11th due to high winds.
Thank you, Captain
Obvious.
Did
someone not get the memo?
Lee on line two. Lee, good afternoon. Hi.
Hey, guys, I commute out of Atchison.
Yeah.
And so, and that's normally the route I take to get home, as I cut through Weston. And the signs were up 20 minutes ago saying road closed ahead. and you could see the fire trucks and you could see smoke like along the railroad tracks. Like you can see where it's probably jumped the road. But I appreciate you guys reporting on it, and I hope that tomorrow morning when I have to go back, you guys report on it too, so we know whether it's opened or not, or I have to take back roads.
Mm. Oh gosh, you would hope by tomorrow it would be, but yes, tune into the morning news for that.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's move on. Couple of stories here from the Associated Press. Track and field, listen to this, Dana. Track and field is set to become the first sport to introduce prize money at the Olympics, with World Athletics saying yesterday it would pay $50,000 to gold medalists at the Paris Olympics this year.
Why track and field?
The move is a symbolic break with the amateur past of the Olympics and one of the game's most watched events.
What if I'm a curler? Where's my money?
Well, curling is in Winter Olympics.
I don't care.
Okay. The governing body of athletics said it was setting aside $2.4 million to pay the gold medalists across the 48 women's, men's, and mixed events on the track and field program for the Paris Olympics this year.
No, I have a huge problem with this.
Relay teams will split the $50,000 between their members. Payments for silver and bronze medalists are planned to start with the 2028 Olympics in Los Angeles.
No! You can't choose one sport and say we're going to pay the gold medal winner $50,000, but not choose archery to do the same thing, or swimming, or any other number of Summer Olympic sports that don't come to mind right now.
Wouldn't gymnastics be in the Summer Olympics?
That's winter.
No, gymnastics?
Pretty sure that's winter.
No, that's a Summer Olympic game.
What about the...
And why wouldn't you pay the gymnast? Because that is the sport that everybody tunes in for.
By far.
What about the people who twirl the little ribbon?
All right, this is who we're leaving out. Surfing, squash, sports, climbing.
Way to just paint a great picture of their sport.
Badminton.
That's not twirl that little ribbon.
That little ribbon, like in old school with Will Ferrell.
The modern pentathlon.
The what?
The equestrian category. Why don't they get...
Pentathlon.
Whatever. Water polo.
Sam, what's the ribbon spinning...
Let me go ahead and Google that.
It's rhythmic dance, I believe, Scott.
Okay, that's not a sport.
Okay, well, they would disagree. My point is, why only pay the track athletes? That makes no sense whatsoever.
Because
you're going to pay all the gold medal winners.
Well, that's probably where they're headed.
Rhythmic gymnastics.
Thank you,
rhythmic
Sam.
Gymnastics.
And it's probably because that's the only group that offered up money to pay the medalists. I don't think they're just going to be paying out of the International Olympic Committee's pocket.
And it's only $2.4 million.
No, wait. It needs to be more, and here's why. Have you watched the Weight of Gold documentary? Run, Do Not Walk, The Weight of Gold. And if you ever thought as a parent, man, I would really like my kid to be an Olympic athlete, the hell you do.
Really?
Tell me more. They can't work ever because all you do is train morning, noon, and night, okay?
Okay.
There's no money in it. In fact, it is a losing proposition for the coaching, for the traveling, all of the things you have to do. The stipend for food is like $7 a day.
Well, don't they get sponsorships?
No, if you're Michael Phelps, but not if you're a curler or a downhill alpine skier. There is this thing in this documentary, Scott, where one of these downhill skiers that got the silver is making smoothies at a gym where like you work at, like a Gold's Gym, but she's at the smoothie bar. And some guy comes up to her and her old Olympics is like just happens to be playing behind her. And he goes, oh my God, is that you? And as she's making his smoothie, she goes, yeah. And they interview Apollo Ohno. Remember speed skater?
Oh,
zoom,
yeah.
Zoom, zoom. He is broke.
No way.
Scott, let me tell you this.
Apollo Ohno is broke?
Yes, if you are not Michael Phelps or Simone Biles, there is no money in this. And then you get out of the Olympics and guess what? They want the next newest, hottest thing on the Wheaties box. They forget about you the second you come off that podium. And then you've like dedicated your whole life to this sport. What do you do now? Only a handful of them can go on the speaking circuit, a very small number. And the rest of them, your body is shot and you're making smoothies at a workout facility.
Apollo Ohno has 2 gold medals, 2 silvers, and 4 bronze.
Yeah, and he's in that documentary and is broke.
By the way, the $2.4 million to pay gold medalists for the track and field events at the Olympics is coming from the World Track and Field Organization.
Oh.
So it's not coming from the Olympics
themselves.
They're not
going to pay the swimmers or the gymnasts.
Well,
or
but then
anybody
I then
else.
I would say this, the swim association needs to say we'll pay our athletes.
Well, maybe they will after this move. Now, can we move past the idea, and I think we have since 1992 with the Dream Team, that the Olympics is an amateur athlete event? It's not. Simone Biles is rolling. She sleeps on dollar bills.
Okay, but Scott, name five others that are you can't.
I can't.
And that's the point.
Michael Phelps, Simone Biles.
Katie Ledecky, I can name her, female swimmer.
Okay.
But the point is not who you can name. The point is who you cannot name. And it's 99.999% of everyone else.
Name one American curler.
Wow.
But you're also leaving out the fact that they can compete in all of these other events that do have purses.
Yeah, that's true. Now they can. But Sam, back in the day, I hate that term. I don't know why I just used it. But back in the day, if you were an Olympic athlete and you made a dime off of your sport, you couldn't compete in the Olympics anymore.
That should not be allowed.
That all changed in 1992 when Michael Jordan and Charles Barkley and all those guys, Karl Malone, they created the Dream Team that participated in the 1992 Olympics. I can't remember where it was, and won gold. That was the first time they allowed professional athletes to compete in the Olympics, and thank God they did.
The Weight of Gold, by the way, was on HBO Max. Run to find that on stream. And here's the other, they really delve into the mental health issue, Scott, because once you are done as an Olympic athlete, it's like, bye, see ya. There's
we've used you up, get out.
Scott, the suicide rate for Olympic athletes, and they get into a couple of very specific cases, it will shatter your heart.
I'll be done.
It will shatter your heart because they don't. What are you going to do once you've reached the top? Okay, you are at the apex, the highest peak of your performance. You've worked your entire life for that, and then boom, the lights go down. It's over. What do you do for a living? How do you pay your bills? What, like, if you don't have the Simone Biles type
name
sponsorship money or name?
Yeah,
two others that we didn't name: Shaun White rolling in the dough.
Shaun White. The he's a snowboarder. Snowboarder.
And Usain Bolt.
Usain Bolt, that's
right. Usain Bolt, who's from here, isn't he? No, that's Maurice. Sorry. Where's Usain Bolt from?
Usain Bolt from Jamaica.
Swing and a miss.
Maurice Green is from KCK.
I drive by that sign all the time that says home of...
Usain Bolt.
Usain Bolt.
Who knew?
It's
Who
Maurice
knew
Green.
He was from Wyandotte County?
God, fun fact. Wow. Not all runners are the same, I know.
Trying to get that foot out of your mouth?
Yes. I love you, Maurice Green.
Don't trip while you're backpedaling, okay?
Shut up, Sam. Go to break. Dana here for Kriegel Mesh Diamonds. Shut up. Call Scott and Steve. You were looking
at...
Fun fact, Usain Bolt, not from Kansas City. Give them a call. If you are looking for necklace, bracelet, diamond engagement ring, they do it all. And the cost is half or better. Half price or better. 913-660-9609. And speaking of gold, if you have any gold, any unused, unwanted, don't know what to do with it, diamonds, anything in the back of a drawer, take that to Scott and Steve. They will look at it for you, quote you a fair price for it, and they will buy your old jewelry from you. When they do, you will leave with check in hand. They buy, they sell, they're wholesalers, and you are going to save. You're going to love Scott and Steve. 913-660-9609. 913-660-9609 or always online, KriegelMeshDiamonds.com. All right.
Miss, I'm going to let you have this embarrassing moment all to yourself. Go ahead.
I knew.
Oh, here we go.
That there was a Kansas City connection to Usain Bolt. And I also know that Maurice Green is from Kansas City. The second we went to break, I looked it up. I said, I know there is something in my news head about Usain Bolt. And sure enough, I Googled it and got results. He challenged Kansas City Chiefs wide receiver Tyreek Hill to a speed challenge.
The other way around.
I believe Tyreek challenged him.
Yes, I knew. When you said Usain Bolt, I was like, is he from Kansas City? No. No, I know he's not from Kansas City.
I don't even think he's ever set foot in Kansas City.
He has stepped foot in Kingston, Jamaica.
That's where he's from. That's why he wears the green and yellow when he takes the
Kansas City Chiefs wide receiver once again, and this is a couple of years ago, challenged Olympic gold medalist Usain Bolt to a race, and the world record holder jabbed back at the idea. Hill, at the time, was widely considered the fastest player in the NFL, has teased the idea of racing Bolt for years. And Bolt basically said, no. They did appear in a video together for the NFL during the Super Bowl.
Okay. When in a hole, throw the shovel out.
Bolt told Hill he would bet one of his gold medals against Hill's Super Bowl championship ring in a race.
Dana is currently setting the record for how fast you can run a 100-meter race backward.
No, right? I knew there was something about Usain Bolt in Kansas City.
Some smoke coming off those toes.
Them is some nice running shoes as you run backwards.
Well, Usain, if you're listening, you're welcome here anytime.
He's not listening.
He's not listening. He's listening to Bob Marley.
Okay.
Because he's from Jamaica.
Okay. Well, he is welcome here anytime. Shut up.
I mean, Sam, watching her head spin.
When we went to break, I started, this is Dana Googling. Usain Bolt, Kansas City.
She's like, there's got to be something.
Well, all I saw was
her. I knew there was something. It's Tyreek.
I mean, the squirrel in her cage was running at 100 miles an hour.
I saw her get up and start pacing, and I was wondering what was going on. And then she sits back down and starts aggressively typing.
I mean, it was aggressive.
It's like a silent film in here.
We will laugh. A story here from CBS News, as if you needed me to read this to you. Most Americans think they pay too much in federal income taxes. And about 6 in 10 mistakenly believe that middle-income households shoulder the highest tax burden. In fact, by the way, your taxes are due in 4 days. Don't forget. In fact, only about 18% of adults correctly identified the group facing the highest federal tax burden, which actually are high-income Americans.
No, not if you look at the percentage base.
With less than 1 week left to file tax returns for 2023. This is from CBS News. I just read the news.
Yes, higher wage earners, of course, are going to pay a higher dollar amount. But if you look at percentage to income, it is middle America.
Because they have ways to get out of, and they have things that they write off and all that stuff. In fact, the U.S. tax system is designed to be progressive, meaning that lower-income Americans would pay a smaller share of their income in federal taxes than higher-income workers, noted Alex Marciano, a senior policy analyst at the Tax Foundation. In 2021, the typical American earner paid $14,000 in federal income taxes with an average tax rate of 14.9%.
Do you know who has to pay taxes on their gold medal?
Olympic gold medalists?
Usain Bolt.
From Kansas City?
Yeah.
Who knew?
Damn that earnings tax.
I don't think Usain Bolt has ever paid the Kansas City earnings tax. Because he's never earned a dollar here.
First, he would have to come here.
Then he would have to earn money.
And then pay
1%
of that.
Fascinating story here from ABC News. And they just put this up on ABC Nightly News, or ABC World News Tonight, whatever it is, with David Muir. Three sailors, check this out. Three sailors were rescued from a remote Pacific island after being stranded for more than a week and writing the word help with palm leaves on the white sandy beach, according to the U.S. Coast Guard. The unnamed sailors, all men in their 40s, were rescued from Pike Lot Atoll, which is one of the outer islands in the Federated States of Micronesia, on April 9th, so 2 days ago, according to the U.S. Coast Guard. Quoting here from Lieutenant Chelsea Garcia, in a remarkable testament to their will to be found, the mariners spelled out help on the beach using palm leaves, a crucial factor in their discovery. Look at that picture.
Wow. It does look like the end of like the MASH episode.
Yes.
Where he said goodbye at the end or whatever it was.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, but wait, back up. Like Lord of the Flies, how long do we think they were there?
They were there for a week.
Oh God.
So that means that they somehow had to find fresh water, or at least capture fresh, kind of like Castaway with Tom Hanks.
I'd be dead in 6 minutes.
You wouldn't make 5 minutes. In a remarkable testament to their will to be found, the Mariners, blah, 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 I already read that part. This act of ingenuity was pivotal in guiding rescue efforts directly to their location. They had built, if you look at this picture, of course, they have the word help written out in palm leaves on the beach. They had built some sort of a structure, some sort of shelter right there on the beach. Huh. The men were on a fishing trip that began on March 31st when their 20-foot open skiff sailboat equipped with an outboard motor was damaged and was non-functional, leaving them stranded. The search and rescue mission began 1 week later.
A week later?
A week later, yeah.
You know, this is why we have cell phones.
I don't think they had
on
a
an island
I don't think
in
they had
the
a
middle
tower.
Of the Pacific?
We're missing a tower.
No, I just mean when things get bad on your boat, you can call somebody and say, look, we've lost power.
You have to.
On behalf of our producer today, the finest man in these United States, the great Sam Stevie III, my good friend and co-host Dana Wright, my name is Scott Parks. And God willing, we're all back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Marty Wall from KY102 filling in for Dana tomorrow. My name is Scott Parks. Have a great night. Be safe. Be well. And most importantly, be good to one another. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.